On 909 and 693, you're listening to BBC Radio 5 Live.
Live news.
Live sport.
This is 5 Live.
Hello, good morning. It's 7 o'clock on Boxing Day, Thursday the 26th of December. This is Breakfast with Julian Warica and Sheila Fogarty. Coming up, a food crisis in Africa. We report from a children's hospital in Malawi.
And day one of the fourth test comes to a close in Melbourne, and England are struggling.
The 5 Live News from Sheila.
The World Food Programme has said that lessons must be learned from the way international funding organisations dealt with the hunger crisis in Malawi, one of the seven countries in southern Africa facing critical food shortages. The government sold off its entire grain reserves shortly before the drought struck, it says, on the advice of the IMF and the World Bank. The money generated has not been accounted for. An opinion survey suggests for the first time that more people think hunting should be regulated than the number who want it banned. The poll was carried out by the NOP for the Countryside Alliance. Today is one of the main days in the hunting calendar. Simon Hart, who leads the campaign for hunting run by the Alliance, told 5 Live that the numbers spoke for themselves. A quarter of a million people would be out hunting, and around 300 protesters would be trying to stop them.
Whatever opinion polls may say, what's really important in this issue is that it is resolved by way of evidence and principle. And I think we spent a lot of the last few years actually simply trying to enable the facts to come to the surface. And the opinion polls seem to indicate that, that's happening quite well.
Police in Pakistan say they've arrested three men who they believe planned the attack on a church in central Pakistan on Christmas Day, in which three girls were killed. The police said those arrested were members of a banned Islamist group and included a radical prayer leader. The body of a five-year-old boy has been found in Edinburgh. Police say they're treating the death as suspicious. With more details, here's Claire Runnickers.
The child's body was discovered at around 8:30 on Christmas morning at an address in the Leith area of the city. Police were first alerted when a woman was found injured on the pavement outside the house. She was taken to Edinburgh Royal Infirmary Hospital, but her injuries weren't thought to be life-threatening. Neighbours say police told them that a woman fell from a flat in the building. Detectives say they're treating the five-year-old's death as suspicious, but Lothian and Borders Police say they won't release any more details at the moment, other than to say their investigation is continuing.
The Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, has used his Christmas message to make a veiled criticism of politicians over the possibility of a war against Iraq. The message was broadcast in the last hour on BBC Radio. In it, the Archbishop used the analogy of the three wise men to mock strategists who, in spite of their sophistication, end up killing innocent people and causing more suffering.
The wise so often can't get out of the world they have themselves created. They're as helpless as the rest of us in dealing with the unintended results of their decisions, tied up in the subtleties of analysis, desperately longing to keep their hands clean, yet finding themselves caught up, yet again, in guilt and compromise.
It's been claimed that today's children are likely to have shorter lives than their parents because they have poorer eating habits. A report by the left-wing think tank, the Fabian Society, says 1 in 10 children is obese. The society wants the government to take action to encourage healthier eating amongst children. Sport now with Alistair Bruce-Ball.
Thanks, Sheila. They're into the closing stages of the first day of the fourth Ashes test in Melbourne. Australia with an absolute mountain of runs on the board, and Steve Waugh's getting in on the act as well as he looks to make a point to the Australian selectors. Live to our correspondent, Jonathan Agnew.
Yes, it's been another bruising day for England's bowlers. 342 for three is the Australian score. We thought midway through the afternoon they might score 400 in the day. They have slowed down a little. Five overs remain to be bowled. Langer's still there on 139. Steve Waugh on 56. His 50 came from only 49 balls, certainly making a point. Hayden made 102. Ponting, 21. Martin, 17. Australia's day, 342 for three.
New Zealand have moved on to 77 for 6 after 29 overs of the first one-day international in Auckland. They're chasing 109 to beat India there. Chelsea can go to the top of the Premiership for a couple of hours if they beat Southampton at Stamford Bridge today. That game kicks off at midday, while the leaders, Arsenal, don't start until 2 o'clock away to West Brom. All 20 teams in action. Manchester United away to Middlesbrough. Fourth-placed Everton go to Birmingham, and Liverpool host Blackburn, while bottom of the table West Ham will try for their first home win of the season against Fulham. Top meets bottom in the SPL this afternoon when Rangers visit Motherwell. Celtic play third-placed Hearts. And if Weatherby passes its 7:30 inspection, there'll be a total of 9 race meetings today. The feature race is the King George VI Chase at Kempton.
Thanks, Alistair. 7:05 on Boxing Day morning. Breakfast on Five Live with Julian Warwicker in London and Sheila Fogarty in Liverpool. And we continue our look at the famine across southern Africa this morning. Malawi is one of the worst affected countries, with 2 million people in need. And according to new information received by the BBC, 1 million more could be affected. And our reporter Alistair Leithhead has been investigating. How bad are the figures, Alistair?
Well, yes, you say around 2 million. 2.2 million is the official figure from the government here. And we understand the government are going to release figures again, saying that it's now going to be up to 3.5 million going into the new year. That's simply because of this gap between people's reserves running out and the wait for the harvest if it comes. The rains have come. Things are looking good for the harvest at the moment. Who knows what's going to happen further down the line, but even still, it'll be April or May before anyone actually gets any harvest and gets any food that they can produce themselves. And until then, they're relying on aid.
And I'm told that you've just been to a local hospital.
That's right, yes. We went to visit a hospital down country from the capital here in Lilongwe. There are 200 of these different units around the country which have been set up to deal with severely malnourished children. You go into the ward and you just see these children sitting there, a really sad sight with their mothers, a lot of crying, and you look at how thin the children are. You know, very thin arms, very thin legs, very old-looking faces. And we spoke to one mother and a child. Her child was only a year old, and the nurse explained that they'd only been in hospital for a week.
The child came in very sick, severely malnourished as compared to the others. If he was not here, maybe by now he would have been dead.
What of the aid agencies, Alistair? Are they gearing up for a crisis here?
Well, yes. I mean, they've been providing aid here for about 6 months now, June, when the first round of crops last year failed, and they've been providing that aid. It's a big operation, obviously, and it's going to have to increase as the number of people in need also increases. Care International is the main group that's working here. They're distributing food on behalf of the World Food Programme. There's a lot of very good work being done. I think Malawi is probably one of the best with regard to the operation really working to get the food out into the places that really need it, probably because it started earlier than the others. I spoke to Nick Osborne, who runs the Care International operation in this country, and he talked about these figures of how the number of people who need the food are going to increase, and he sort of said they were figures which are far from optimistic.
The crisis has obviously been getting worse, and obviously in the months ahead as well, into January, February and March, we're going to see the current need for emergency food assistance increase. It's also going to become somewhat logistically more difficult as well to get food out there with the rains that have just started as well.
And of course the rains have made it difficult to get out to the remote areas. A lot of the people who are in need are on dirt tracks, and we found ourselves yesterday going out into the country and trying to get back after the rains had fallen. The 4x4 vehicle was really struggling to get through, so it is always going to be a problem, I think, to get through, to get this aid in and to get it to the people who really need it. I think the key thing really though for people like Care International is the dilemma which they face as to who how they distribute this food aid. They need to make sure that the most needy have to get it, but people are so poor here anyway that it's a very fine line. And again, I spoke to Nick Osborne about this, and he said it was this awful dilemma of who gets the food aid.
It's very difficult when we're in a country where there's such high levels of poverty in trying to target to those most in need, because there are so many people in need in this country. When you have 65% of the population living below the poverty line in a normal year, actually trying to target the 30% of the most of the poorest is very difficult and presents huge challenges for everyone involved in the food distribution program.
Where's next on your schedule, Alistair?
Well, next on the list is Lesotho tomorrow. We'll be going in there to have a look at the situation. All the time we've been going through here, we've been seeing different sort of factors affecting different countries. And here there's been an issue with regard to aid agencies and international funding bodies, which we'll talk about perhaps later. In Lesotho, it's very much the HIV/AIDS situation. Yeah. So that'll be what we'll be looking at tomorrow.
And just a final thought. People who heard you yesterday will have perhaps wondered how you spent the rest of your day, because the atmosphere around you yesterday in that village you were in was memorable, I think, to all of us who heard it. What did happen? Did you sort of stay for a while or what?
We stayed for a little while, but as you'd have probably heard, the rain did kind of put a dampener on things getting done.
Yes.
But we did go down into the countryside, and we saw these great figures dressed up in dried grass. These masquerades, they're called. These characters that dress up and sort of scare the children and have a bit of fun with the children, like you do on a Christmas. So that was a very Christmassy aspect of Malawi.
Yes, that's right. Because by 8 o'clock yesterday morning, you were sheltering under a tree. So it's coming back to me now. We'll talk in an hour. Thank you very much. Alistair Leithhead in Malawi. Let's take a quick look at the main stories on the front pages of this morning's papers.
Well, the PM was accused of moral surrender in the Mirror by his priest over the proposed war in Iraq.
Churches urge West to step back from war. That's the Telegraph's lead.
On the same story, the Independent says church leaders launch unified attack on plans for war on Iraq.
The Mail leads with the headline, holiday firms forced into a price war, which means summer holidays will be cheaper.
The Sun reports former England soccer ace Neil Webb has started a new job as a postman.
And fats not allowed, says the Star. Bandmates Girls Aloud were banned from tucking into festive treats for fear of gaining weight.
There are always the sprouts, aren't there? Calorie-free and full of antioxidants. Perfect. You don't want to put any weight on.